all the new initiatives announced last year by Lycoming. We get an update. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Last year at Oshkosh, Lycoming Engines had several significant pieces of news, led by the announcement of a new level of integration of electronic engine control way beyond just retrofitting ignition or injection controllers. ANN's Jim Campbell had the chance to talk with Ian Walsh, Senior VP and General Manager of Lycoming Engines, and get an update on the progress of IE2 and the other major initiatives.
Ian, I'm going to start right there. You guys came alive at Oshkosh in ways we haven't seen in a long time. This engine business is showing such innovation and such excitement right now. What did you guys put in the drinking water up there?
Well, I appreciate that compliment. And indeed, Oshkosh 2008 was a very exciting time for us because it was the culmination of many years in the neighborhood of about 4.5 years of efforts to first really understand and map out where our customers and the industry was headed, and then to start the investment and the hard work required to build new technology to meet those needs. And I'm excited to say that last Oshkosh, we were proud to present kind of the centerpiece was our new IE2, our integrated electronic control. This is a brand new engine, state of the art, a very robust design that meets the needs of our customers in several respects. One is that it provides a fully electronic integrated solution whereby you have a single power lever control. The engine that we are working to certify is our most complex twin turbo, and we fully intend to roll this technology out across our family of engines, which is very exciting. And we know that our OEMs who have test flown, and we've got hundreds of hours on this system, are very excited about that. The other big need, very critical need, that is getting more and more attention, and rightly so, is that not only is it fully integrated electronic, but it's alternate fuel capable. And there is a lot of work that's being done right now outside of Lycoming, but we're obviously involved in it, working with the FAA, GAMA, the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, the FAA Tech Center, a lot of the distributors and oil companies to start to figure out what that new unleaded avgas is going to be. And the beauty of it is that the software and the design around our IE2 will be designed to handle a range of fuels. So that was really the first big one. And the second part of our announcement last year and what we showed, which is very complementary to the IE2, is our new IO233 light sport engine. This is a modified, tried-and-true, bulletproof O235, where we've pulled out the necessary weight, integrated some new capability in terms of electronic controls, not the same as the IE2, but different. And most importantly, it's MoGas capable, which is a huge need for the customers overseas in different geographic areas where it's hard to find 100 low lead. And then the last big announcement, primary announcement was, and you'll see more of that this year, is the Echelon program. The Echelon program is our aftermarket program whereby we are certifying and have certified the IO390, our most powerful four-cylinder, and targeting owner groups such as the R177RG, the Cessna RG, which is being STC'd right now for that engine. And so basically for the same price, roughly, as an overhaul, you will get a complete new firewall forward solution with a brand new IO390.
Boy, that must make a cardinal sit up and pay attention.
It does, and the owner groups, we've briefed many times. We were just at Sun and Fun with them, and we're excited to say that they're actually headed this way to Williamsport, Pennsylvania in July.
Outstanding. Do you have any other airframe targets in mind at this point where we might be seeing that engine?
Absolutely. We have several airframe targets, which I won't talk about now, but when we're ready to announce those, I think the ozone groups will be very happy to see us moving in their direction. And that fundamentally, just to be clear, is exactly what the Echelon program is designed to do, which is to kind of systematically work with our customer base, our existing base out there, to provide firewall forward solutions with more horsepower, more reliability, more capability, genuine Lycoming solutions for, again, certain customer groups out there that are very ready and able to have those new technologies hit their platforms.
So much for review. We'll get updates from Ian Walsh on all three major Lycoming projects in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR-22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR-22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. ANN's Jim Campbell is getting an update on the new initiatives announced last summer by Lycoming from Senior VP and General Manager Ian Walsh.
Well, it was obviously a three-pronged attack at Oshkosh. I mean, three pivotal programs showing up all at the same time, and in a year where there wasn't as much news at Oshkosh as there would otherwise have been, so you folks generated quite a bit of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over each of the three programs a little bit more in depth.
Sure.
Talk about IE2. How does this particular technology differentiate itself from others of its ilk?
The first, I'll talk about a couple things, and I won't get into too many technical details, but I think there's a couple key elements that we've certainly talked about openly and advertise and want people to understand. The first is the integrated, the eye of the IE2. Unlike many systems out there today, it's not a bolt-on system. So effectively, you're either weight neutral or you actually reduce weight depending on the ultimate configuration, the power source, the ECU, working with the airframers on the OEM side. That's to be determined. But one of the critical targets was to have a weight neutral or a weight negative solution. So that's important. The second piece is the E part of it, which is the electrical piece. In other words, this is a full electronic system, not mechanical, but it takes into account everything from fuel flow, airflow, wastegate, prop, mixture. Everything is fully integrated. So effectively, every cylinder is being optimized, has sensors around it, and is being optimized as a separate engine. Every cylinder is being optimized as a separate engine. It's fully redundant. And obviously, with the standards today, working with the FAA, there's no escaping the amount of redundancy, failure modes, and testing that goes into it. And then the third big part of it, having flown the system myself and been flying my entire life since 14 and in the military, when you fly a piston or IE2 engine with a single power lever, it reduces the pilot workload in a magnitude of ways. It's something that just is completely new. It's something, if anybody's ever flown a turbine, it's very similar to what it feels like to fly a turbine. The engine takes care of itself. You've got all the indications you need from a start flight and landing and aftermarket perspective in terms of knowing how the system's operating. And then the last, I think, really important part about this new system is that it's only going to be allowed to be maintained at authorized Lycoming service centers, which is something that we're rolling out shortly, and working with our OEMs at their authorized service centers, because with a new product, with the level of complexity and significance around maintaining the system, it'll be important to make sure those systems are being maintained and operated properly. So we have an infrastructure around to support that system globally.
Well, it sounds like a pretty aggressive program all in all. What's the rollout scenario looking like at this point?
We are starting, I think, strategically the right way, where first off, we will be offering it in the experimental version, working with some of our experimental OEMs. We're excited to kind of make some of those announcements and show that at Oshkosh this year. We showed the mock-up of the actual engine on the fuselage of the Lancair Evolution. So we're excited to hopefully be flying that aircraft in this year. And then the next phase, which is already in work, is working with the OEMs, obviously, who are very interested in this system for all the reasons I've mentioned. And that will follow most likely in the 2011 timeframe. We'll be working the certifications for those OEMs. And then starting at the higher horsepower, obviously, at the 540 level, and then working our way down and up, depending on, you know, the customer's needs, but working our way down the six-cylinder and into the four-cylinders. Obviously, there's a cost benefit when you start getting into the lower horsepower four-cylinders, where an integrated electronic control is something that necessarily wouldn't be beneficial to customers, and there's plenty of solutions in those horsepower ranges. But again, working with the technology we've got on the IO233, which is a little bit different in terms of having a more of a mechanical electrical interface with the throttle and some other things, no magnetos, there are some benefits in the lower end that we can bring in the four cylinders.
In tomorrow's conclusion of this conversation, how do you break into an LSA engine marketplace dominated to date by a single European manufacturer? Tomorrow's installment, by the way, has already been released for those who prefer not to wait. Jim Campbell is ANN's editor-in-chief. Ian Walsh is Senior VP and General Manager of Lycoming Engines. Find out more at www.lycoming.textron.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.